Let's go to Proverbs 1. Look at one verse here. No, I'll close my Bible and tell stories now.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher talk about that every
Nah, God's good, amen. All right, we're going to go to Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the day. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for those that are here. We pray for those that are still coming on their way. Lord, we pray that you keep them safe. Give me the words to say. And Lord, it's all you would be lifted up in everything in Jesus' name. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He can either be knowledgeable or be a fool, right?
Yeah.
I remember after I got saved, you know, he got into God's word and it's kind of neat how God did, you know, you'd be reading it and then next thing you know, you go to church and then someone's preaching on that and it's like, wow. Or, you know, you'd ask God, you know, things and next thing you know, you're hearing somebody preach about what you asked God about. So that's neat how God works. And we still need to, none of us reach the plateau of our Christian realm, right? What's a plateau? You reach a plateau, you become flat, right? So, we always need to learn. We always need to search God, right? Amen? But I'll just have a little lesson here of the fear of the Lord. So like I said, I never preached this or taught it. God kind of laid it on my heart this week. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Hebrew word beginning here is first in order, the principal thing. Basically, it's the first thing we ought to do, right? It's above all. It's the beginning of knowledge. It takes priority. Knowledge is the most of the world. Most of the world think knowledge is, you know, what we got from a college degree.
Right.
How many classes you take, how many years you've been in the business. I've been in the business 32 years. You think I'd have a lot of knowledge in heating and air conditioning. I do, but, you know, you're always learning, right? You don't know enough. But, you know, we kind of base knowledge on that. How many letters have you after your name? You know, well, he has all these letters after his name. He must be really smart. Or what kind of office you hold. I was thinking about that as I was thinking, it's like Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We put too much emphasis on education. There's nothing wrong with education. You need to be educated, but you need the right education, amen?
Right.
The Bible says true knowledge begins when we fear the Lord, amen? That's when knowledge begins. Mm-hmm. The day you got saved, that's when your knowledge began. Your understanding was enlightened, amen? It's when your eyes were open, you know, the scales. I was thinking about Paul, you know, the scales drops from his eyes, you know. And that's how I remember it, you know. The scales dropped from my eyes, and I could see. And I can know who God is and what God's purpose was in my life. You know, I always believed Jesus, but I never knew Jesus. You know, there's the devils believe, right? Yet tremble, I was thinking about the maniac from my
Gadara.
And I was reading that in my devotions, and you know, even the devil legion came and worshiped Jesus. Mm-hmm. You think about that. Even they know Jesus. They fear and tremble at Jesus, you know. A lot of people say, well, I know God. Doesn't mean I have to go to church.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I have to, you know. Well, do you know God? I mean, the devils know God, but yet tremble, right? And do they fear? You fear God. There's a difference. And true knowledge is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. Like I said, I think about all those degrees. I think about this man I was doing this water softener for. You can tell he's from the Catholic Church because he has a Mother Mary statue outside. And his kids, this one kid's a lawyer for Boeing, very successful, you know. And I mean, I'm sure he's proud of him and all that, but, you know, he told me he quit after he was in the Guards for 26 years, and he quit after Trump got in office. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, okay. But I was thinking about him, you know, that's great. You got your lawyer, your successful lawyer for Boeing, but do you know Jesus? Amen? Do you have the knowledge of Christ? Do you have the fear of the Lord? Until we have the fear of the Lord, it's all for naught, right? You could be an inventor of many things. You think of the guys at Apple, invented a lot of things. You know, we like our Apple phone. I don't know if anybody's got iPhones, but I don't have one. I like a Galaxy, but, you know, all those things they invented and we enjoy, that's great, but did they know Christ?
Right.
You know? It's all for naught. They're wishing they did had that knowledge, amen. So, if they despise God's wisdom, they are what? A fool. We don't like to be called a fool, do we? So, what do we mean by the fear of the Lord? It's reverence. We are respecting God's divine nature, producing in us a unwillingness to offend Him. Sin against God and offend Him. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Amen. We want to do what's right. Amen. We don't want to disrespect God. We don't. I think about it with my parents. If we reverence our parents, like I was thinking about my parents, they gave me a curfew, and I wanted to be home on that curfew because I wanted to respect them, not let them down. Not sin against them. You know, you reverence God. I think today there's no reverence sometimes. Right. We think God's just a God's a rock and roll God, and we're all going to get and jump around and have a good time for an hour and then go home and probably go after that Saturday night worship. We're probably going to go have a few drinks. I don't know. But we don't have reverence anymore. Holy reverence, godly reverence. The objective of fear is submission, being submissive. That's the objective of fear, is being submissive to God. That's why people don't, they're again, professors and not so much professors, but scientists, they want to prove God wrong or prove there is no God because they don't want to be submissive to Him.
Right.
They don't want to be under the control of God. They don't want to have to answer to nobody. That's why they want to wish God away. And you can wish Him away, but that doesn't do you too much good there. So the objective of fear is submission, being submissive. How is fear obtained? Having the proper concepts of God. Let's go to Revelations 22:13. Says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments and they that may have the right of the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You know, He's the beginning of end. He's a self-existent God. He isn't a God made by hands. You go through the Old Testament and it's just funny how God just, He puts down these fake idols. You don't have any ears, man. You don't have any hands.
Yeah.
You know, and He just makes fun of them. And that's true. How can we think that if something I'm going to make is actually going to keep me safe?
Right.
You know? It's like that Mother Mary statue. How is that thing going to keep you safe? It's a piece of plaster. And it just, or that little thing on, I seen a nun the other day. And she had, what was that? What's the guy that keeps you safe?
St. Joseph.
St. Joseph, yeah. He's always, they put him on the dash. They're going to keep him safe, keep him away from the, you know, car wreck. And it's just funny that we, you know, we need the proper concept of God. God is the creator of heavens and earth. We see that in Genesis 1:1. And He's also the creator of male and female, right? Amen? Do you like that? Let's go to there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I like how he put it in there. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and who?
Female.
Created he them. You know, and people get all upset about gender. Well, there's no, you can't, right? God created male and female. How clear is that? Amen? You know? Like I said, he's self-existence. Amen? He wasn't thought up by man. He's not a false god. He formed you and me. Let's go to Isaiah 49:5. And now saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though as Israel be not gathered yet, shall be glorious. I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. You know, God formed us, amen?
Amen.
In the womb, amen? It isn't, how clear can you get? Let's go to Jeremiah 1:5. We weren't an accident, right, amen?
Right.
God says here, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know, he formed thee. He knew thee before, even in the belly. God has a purpose for us, amen? I was thinking about this, you know. I always think about the abortionist. Guy made abortion or did abortions. It was a story, and he had cancer, and he's praying to God and asking God why, you know, why ain't there no cure for cancer? And he says, and I'm messing up the story, but he says, "You aborted him." You know, I did, but you aborted him. You know, we can think of that, and that's sad. You know, it isn't a woman's right, amen? Just think of the many children that are aborted every day. It's sad. Abortion is not a right, amen?
Right.
It's murder, right? Amen? Amen. So he's a creator. He's our creator, heaven and earth, creator of us. He didn't just save us for heaven, right? Amen? He saved us for a purpose.
Amen.
And it's our job to find that purpose. Amen. And like I was telling Shelley, it's like, you start studying for a message or, you know, teaching and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, can I do this? You know, I can't, but God can. Amen. But it's like this, like I told her, I said, well, if I ever go to the gym and never lift a weight, how can you get stronger, right? So if I never open the Word of God and never start studying, how can God speak to me, right? He ain't going to sit there and write the message and then, no, I'm just going to read it, you know. But, you know, it's our purpose to step out in faith, amen? God didn't just save us for this. Let's just sit in a pew. He saved us for a purpose, amen? And we got to realize that purpose. He had a purpose for Jeremiah. He had a purpose for John the Baptist. Could John the Baptist said, nah, I don't want to do it. I'm going to Jerusalem school. Become a professor. Could he have?
Could have been a priest. Yeah.
Could have been a priest. Or we could say that he had no will over his body. I mean, you could be a Calvinist and say, well, that was just... But God all-knowing, right, knew what John the Baptist would do, amen? That's like he knows what we're going to do, right? And his grace is sufficient, amen? Praise God for his mercy and grace. So he's our creator. He's also our redeemer. Redeemer means to purchase back, to ransom, to liberate, or rescue from captivity or bondage. Wow. And we think about that. When you get saved, you're rescued from captivity and bondage. There's no more excuses anymore. Uh-huh. Amen? We don't sin that grace may abound more. That's why a lot of, come as you are and leave as you are. God redeemed us. Amen?
Amen.
There should be a change. As I was reading Saul, he told Saul, there will be a change in you. They'll see a change in you. And I thought to myself is, when we meet God, when we come to Christ, there should be a change. Amen?
Right.
And it might, some it's drastic changes, some it isn't. So it just depends how much you are submissive to God. Amen? How much can God use you? How much by faith will you apply God's word to your life? That's faith. Living by faith. And then a mystical thing. I think sometimes when people, faith is mystical. My faith. What's your faith? What's your faith in?
Right.
It should be in the word of God. Faith is applying God's word to our life. That's what faith is. I walk by faith, not by sight. God says it. I believe it. That settles it, right? That's faith. But so I like that. He purchased us. He ransomed us. He liberated us. Amen. We're not in bondage anymore. He rescued us. We're from captivity or bondage. Before salvation, we were bound. We were bound to sin. We loved sin. Sin tasted good. It tasted really good. We liked it. That's what we did best because we're a born sinner. That's what we do best. We're born sinners. But God redeemed us, amen? And we don't have no excuse to live into bondage anymore. He's our redeemer. Job. Let's go to Job 19:25. We'll get to that. But Job had hope. What does that say? 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer, oh, let's go here. Oh, that my words were not now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. Amen. And though after my skin, you think about it, my skins and worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Amen. This old body is going to go to the grave, and the worm's going to eat it up, and we're going to be shriveled up. Amen. But we'll see a Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
That's it. Praise God. Amen. We have that hope. That the world doesn't have that hope. They don't know. It's like stepping into a dark room and not knowing what's beyond that. That's what eternity is for a lot of people without Christ. They don't know. A lot of them will think, like I used to think, well, I'm a good person. I didn't kill anybody yet. Yeah. Could have. I was a wrestling coach for 20 years for little kids. I'm a pretty good guy. My battle outweigh my good. Wrong answer. A lot of them will think they'll stand up in front of God and say, "I didn't. How was I supposed to know?" And then God will have like a big. He's gonna have a big. That's how I think. He's just gonna play our life back. Hey, remember this guy came knocking on your door and you told him to get out of your face, and you got Jesus and you got a life. I still remember. I went to a house one night. And a lady, we knocked on her door, and she got mad. I got a life, and slammed the door. I said, but we wanted to say, but do you have eternal life, God will replay that. Hey, I sent somebody to your door. you don't have an excuse. I still remember one kid was, I don't remember it, but the kid reminded me of it. And he said, remember we were sitting at, the old Runza? He used to be Godfather's. And then that's when the church started right across the street. And I guess we were out there and some guys tried to come and talk to us about the Lord, you know. And I'm going, yeah, you know. And so I remember, you know, there'll be days like that. People will sit there. Let's go to Psalms 103, verse 4. Let's go to verse 1 here. It's, blessed the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in with me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We got a lot of benefits, amen?
Amen.
Better than that 401k. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, amen? That disease was sin. He redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. Man, I was on a life of destruction before Christ. I couldn't imagine what I'd look like now if I never came to Christ. I'd probably be dead. I'd be close. I'd probably say close. That would look really bad. What was that? Ways of transgressor are hard. It is hard on you, but I praise God, man. He redeemeth thy life from destruction, well, from hell, right? Amen. Destruction, and also from this present evil world. I like that, reading that. He not only saves us for heaven, but he saves us from this present evil world. Amen. We got to remember that. Present means now, right? Amen?
Amen?
This present evil world. Sometimes people don't. They don't think of that. Let's go to 106, verse 10. It says, and he saved them from the hand that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, and was not one of them that left. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. Get this, they soon forget his works and waited not for his counsel. It soon helped. We give the Israelites a hard time about that. About, oh, they murmured and all that stuff. What would we be doing? When Jesus was on the cross, if we were there, where would we be? Everything about that? Would we be the soldier? Would we be the Pharisees laughing at him? I wonder. I try to put myself there. But he saved them for his name's sake, and that he might make mighty in his power to be known. But anyway, he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. God brought us out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world, right? And God delivered us from that, amen? He delivered us. He ransomed us. We're not in bondage anymore. We're not under bondage. Jesus Christ, God himself, God in the flesh, came and gave himself a ransom for us. Amen. Aren't you glad he got a Savior like that? Aren't you glad we got a Savior, a God that we don't have to reach up to? Amen. He came down and reached down to us. He came down to us. You look at every religion out there. Yes, you have to do something for that, to appease him. Mm-hmm. Well, we got a God that came down and died for us, amen? Christianity is the only religion you don't have to do something to enter eternal life, to have eternal life, amen? That makes us different. We have a God that loved us, amen? Mm-hmm. God that came in the flesh and gave himself a ransom for us. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2:6. That's an awesome God, I think.
Amen.
Muhammad did.
Yeah.
He's still in the grave.
Right.
2:6. For there are others to go up here. I'm going to go up to verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And we should pray for everybody, right? Even though those guys you don't like. For kings and for all that are in authority. You even got to pray for, should pray for Trump. We got to pray for, even we got to pray for Obama. And we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. There it is, that knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and veridity. We got an awesome God. He gave us a ransom for us. He didn't have to come down. It was pretty nice in heaven. Why did he come down to this stink hole? You know, we got an awesome God. Gave us a ransom. 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:15. So I'm getting into where we are free. 6:15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall then ye take the members of Christ and make them a members of the harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. So when we're in sin, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to flee it. Amen. Get away from it. I think about Joseph. He fleed. Amen. You know, and it's funny that she, not funny, but, well, she tried to say, well, just come talk to me. You know, come over here. Just visit with me for a while. No, he fleed. You know, it came to the point where he had to flee. He fleed fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have... ye have of God, and ye are not your own. See, we're not our own. We're bought with the price. Amen. Right here it says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. We are bought with a price. We're not ourselves anymore. We're not in control. I don't want to be in control anymore. Just like Glenn was teaching last week. I don't want to trust in my heart. Amen. I don't want to trust in my feelings. My feelings are bad. I can have some bad thoughts. Really bad thoughts. So I'm glad. I mean, that verse too hit me hard when I first read it. Because I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. There's our own understanding.
Right.
We want the knowledge of God, amen, not our own understanding.
Right.
So we're bought with the price, amen. We're not our own. We're not our own boss anymore. That's, again, why I think people don't want to come to Christ. It's because, oh, man, I have to do all these things. I have to go to church every day. I have to carry my Bible. I have to, now, you know, do all this stuff, read my Bible all the time, not have any fun. You don't have to. You'll want to. Amen.
Right.
When you got the Holy Spirit, you'll want to get closer to God. You want to know God. You should want to. There's, you know, a lot of people that, yeah, I'll raise my hand. I don't get into God's Word as much as I should. You know, I still remember when I first got saved. I had my little pocket Bible. I was carrying it around everywhere, you know, and at work, and I need to do that more like I used to. But get into God's Word. We're bought with a price, amen. So it's a big price. And therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So we're, when we dress, We should glorify God in our body, amen? When we present our body a living sacrifice, amen, holy and acceptable under God, which is our reasonable, what? Service, which means worship. Worship isn't this in a fog machine and beach balls bouncing everywhere. And worship is everyday living. That's how we worship God. We worship Him in spirit and truth, amen? And so, we're God's servant. We're God's servant. We're a servant of the living King, amen? And we're not a servant of sin anymore. We're supposed to yield to God, not yield to ourselves. Let's go to, I like Romans chapter 6. That really, I like this, and I wish more people would read it. I need to read it more myself, but let's start with verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, I think sometimes we think that. I think people, God's grace is bigger than my, I'll see that posted on Facebook, I think. God's grace is bigger than my sin. Well, does that mean that you can just sin and willfully? That didn't work out for Saul, did it? Like I said, I'm going through Samuel and, you know, Saul, after, you know, disobedience, he lost the kingdom. You know, God didn't set him up for failure. If he would have been obedient, I don't think God set him up for failure. He just was disobedient. Listened to himself, then he listened. He was impatient. Then he listened. He was scared of others. He worried. He didn't fear God. He feared man. So shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we then be, how shall we, us Christians, if you're saved, you're born again, that are dead to sin. See, we're dead to sin and live any longer therein. What's redeemed mean? You're bought. You're set free. You're out of bondage, right? So you're not. Should we live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized in Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We should have a new walk, amen? For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, amen? We should have a resurrection after salvation. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, our old man is before Christ, that old dog, that old man we want to kick around, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died once unto sin, or unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen? Right there. We should not serve sin. We're not in bondage to sin anymore. Amen? There's our excuse. We shouldn't walk in the flesh. We should walk in the spirit. Amen? We don't have an excuse. Well, I just can't do that. Well, yeah, I know you can, but Christ can. Amen? You know, you can't. I can't, but God can. You know, I couldn't quit drinking, but God let me quit drinking. I still remember that day. I was bending over getting ready for church. I thought, I can have a few, you know. I had a few beers. Yeah, after I got saved, I had a couple beers a week. Anyway, long story short, 2 months later, I'm leaning over, getting ready for church, tying my shoes, and it was just like, I don't know if I told you guys this, but I'm sorry if I did. Anyway, I was just tying my shoes, and it was like God was over me, right there speaking to me, going, that is not your life anymore. And I went, what? And I said, yes, Lord, yeah. And that was it. You know, right there, that was the last day I took a drink. Praise God. I could have started drinking again, but no, I feared the Lord, amen. That was the beginning of knowledge, right? I feared the Lord. I didn't need alcohol anymore. I got high on Jesus, right? Still remember when we were knocking on doors over at these apartments, and all of a sudden, poof, they open up the door, and a big old puff of smoke coming out. They're like, yeah, you know what they were doing. And so we gave him a track, and then Brother Bob goes, get high on Jesus. But yeah, we should get high on the Lord, amen. We should get filled with the Lord. You know, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, God's righteousness, we shall be filled. We won't be in want anymore. We'll be filled. It's like eating. You know, we're going to go here and eat at noon, you know, filling yourself up in so much that we don't want any more. If we fill ourselves up with God's righteousness, we don't need anything. We don't need the world, right? Amen?
Right.
It won't make us hungry for the word. So God is the creator, redeemer, and also the judge. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12:13. A lot of people they don't like the judge part. They like baby Jesus, but they don't like the judge. That's why they can handle baby Jesus, like you say. They can't handle the judge thing. 12:13, I like this. It says, Solomon at the end of his writing, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, fear God. Okay, so we're going to need to fear God, keep his commandments, amen? For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We got to watch where we're walking, amen? Whether it be good or evil, God will bring it into judgment. Let's go over here to verse 11, verse 9. Let's go to verse 8. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh in is vanity. It's all vanity if it's in darkness, right? Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Then Jesus said, he'll answer to every word that spoke. I can't quote that, but we'll answer to every word, every idle word that's been spoken. A lot of words I got to take back. But God he's the creator, he's the redeemer, and he's the judge. I'm going to stop there. It's about quarter till. I got more, but it comes down to the fear of the Lord is not only the beginning, but the whole sum of the total of knowledge and wisdom.
Amen.
Amen. Gray hairs doesn't mean you're wise.
Right.
Yeah, I got a few of them. The grayer you are, not the wiser you are, but the more you fear the Lord, the wiser and the more knowledgeable you are. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that you are the creator of the universe, Lord. You're not a God made up in people's minds, but you're a self-existent God. And we thank you for redeeming us, Lord. We thank you for setting us free, giving us freedom, purchasing us, and Lord, freeing us from this present evil world, God. And Lord, as you are the judge, and the works we do here on this earth right now, Lord, will be judged, will be tried by fire. And God, we just pray, Lord, that every work we do is for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.